You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live to the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Feel good, football Friday, Black Friday. We are here breaking down the Giants for you. And also, we get an opportunity to talk about what happened with Zach Wilson and the Jets on Wednesday. If we weren't working today, that would have had to wait all the way till Monday, and then we would be talking about the Mike White performance in addition to that. And I was very surprised. I know I shouldn't have been very surprised, but I was very surprised because I thought what the Jets were doing was holding Zach Wilson accountable, make him apologize to his teammates, see how he would react to this type of adversity within the building, and then they were going to throw him out there against a Chicago Bears team that might be without their quarterback, who doesn't have a very good defense, and he was going to play a good game and get him back on track. I really thought that that was going to be the formula, and it wasn't. And Rob Saleh basically said that to me and to everybody listening out there that Zach Wilson isn't good enough to get them to the playoffs this year. Doesn't mean that he's done as a Jets quarterback, but Rob Saleh and the Jets organization, by making this move, believe that Zach Wilson is not the guy that can get them to the playoffs in 2022, and that Mike White has a better chance of doing that. And Mike White, who I loved last year, I had a lot of fun with that. You know, watching him play against the Bengals, the Patriots, that first quarter against the Colts before he got hurt, and he looked great. And I was at that Bills game where he threw those four picks. He looked horrible. But I really think there is something there. I do believe there is something there that's better than what Zach Wilson is. And just as we were talking about, if Jared Goff were the quarterback for the Jets in those two Patriot games, they probably have two more wins. I believe the same thing about Mike White if he had played those two games.
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, we all got to calm down thinking that Mike White is like the next coming of Daryl LaMonica or something. You know, he's a backup quarterback for a reason. He's buried on a depth chart for a reason. I think he's the alternative because Zach Wilson was just completely in over his head, obviously. And you never know how these coaches are going to handle these decisions. And when we were here on Monday and Tuesday, we were talking about how I felt that Rob Saleh was setting Zach Wilson up to be pulled out of the game if, in fact, he didn't play well against Chicago. That's where I thought they were going. I never thought in my wildest dreams that they were going to bench him. But there are a lot of things that go on in a building that we're not privy to. There's the leadership council. There's the discussion between players. There's the social media aspect of everything. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's a home game against the Bears. And this was going to be an ugly situation if he was in his uniform and he went out there and he played poorly. And I think Rob Saleh probably saw that and headed it off at the pass, if you will, and said, you know what, it's time for, and he used this word, which I thought was the right word, a reset. It's a reset for the young man to learn again how to become an NFL quarterback. The balls that he was missing the other day, you know, everybody's like, the offensive coordinator, the offense, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, guys are wide open. He's missing them. It's like Daniel Jones yesterday. Saquon Barkley is wide open. You have to hit him. That is about as easy as it gets. And if you look back at some of these throws that he made and the reactions of the wide receivers after the throws were made, then all you need to know is that he is just not either seeing the field, he's not throwing the ball right, his fundamentals are all screwed up, his brain is all screwed up, he's obviously feeling the pressure and feeling the heat, and his teammates didn't like his reactions after the game.
Yeah.
So I think Rob Saleh just cut it off at the pass and said, you know what? I'm not putting him out there right now. His career's not over, because that's what everybody wants to say. He stinks. He's done. He's over. It's not over. It's now, not over yet.
When he was asked to provide examples of quarterbacks that were in a situation like this, got benched, you know, were young in their career, and then it came back and ended up playing well, you know, Rob Saleh gave some examples that weren't similar to the Zach Wilson situation.
Phil Simms.
He didn't use that example.
I know, but I would just say Phil. I mean, right. Phil is a testament to, he was a high draft choice, a guy that got injured, a guy that got benched.
This was also, well, you know, 40 years ago now.
I understand that, but, you know, it's still, it's all on the same lines. I mean, it's, you know, back when we got benched, it wasn't nearly as embarrassing because there wasn't social media and there wasn't all these different talking heads out there screaming and yelling about
it. Right, and the pass game back then was not as prevalent in the league as it is now, too. You know, and quarterbacks weren't, the best quarterbacks weren't making $40, $45, $50 million a year. So it's just, it's an example. I just don't know if it's apples to apples. You know, and he's talking about Geno Smith, Rich Gannon, Kurt Warner, like all these guys that did it for other teams, which to me don't apply. Now, as far as the comments after the game.
Could you say Steve Young? He got traded.
Yeah.
From Tampa after playing poorly in Tampa and had to sit behind Joe Montana.
But it's like, another team, though.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where it ends up working out for that same team and that same guy in that same place. Now, a lot of people were talking about the comments after the game that certainly got him benched. But, like, I still think if Zach Wilson handled that press conference perfectly, he still wouldn't be on the field this week because of how poorly he played.
Yeah, that may be the case, especially with the way that the wide receivers were reacting. And, again, you know, I do go back to, you know, this leadership council and the players reading the locker room and understanding what's going on in there. And, you know, when you saw Steph Diggs yesterday in the post-game press conference or post-game interview, he's looking at Josh Allen going, that's my guy. 1-7's my guy. I
see
love
the
that
hug
guy.
At the end of the game.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah. I love that guy. I'll go to war with that guy. That, you know, all the trappings of teammates that respect each other and everything else. And that's what the Jets do not have right now with their quarterback. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, I keep saying, you know, he's a 23-year-old kid from Utah. You know, and he's different.
Yeah, these are all the things we were saying when he was drafted,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, different. He's different, and this is a different place.
Yeah, so the criticisms that we had back then, you know, the things I was saying was, first of all, I believed he was an out-of-nowhere guy, meaning that we weren't talking about him at all until the combine showed up and then the pro days and all of that. So after the Jets had lost out on Trevor Lawrence, who maybe that was a good thing for them too, who knows. But after they lost out on Trevor Lawrence, everybody started talking about Justin Fields. Well, Justin Fields is the next guy. Now we can end up watching Justin Fields and see what he's going to be, and maybe that'll be the Jets pick, or maybe they'll trade down, or maybe this. Then all of a sudden, Zach Wilson pops up out of nowhere. He's got this arm talent. Everybody's drooling about him. He becomes the second overall pick. And then we're talking about coming out of that bubble, you know, to be the, you know, coming to New York just to begin with. Like, if you're going from Utah just to go to NYU is a shock. Now you add to it, you're the Jets quarterback,
yeah,
and you got to be the savior of a franchise that hasn't had success at that position for years and years and years. I mean,
it's a lot.
It's too much.
And plus, you have an attitude adjustment that needs to take place. And I'm not saying the kid's a bad kid, but he obviously turned a lot of people off over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, you have to remember is that after they beat Buffalo and they, you know, go on their bye and then they come back, and what does he say? Oh, people don't know what's being said in the building.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know, you might want to dial that one back a little bit, but, you know, you just won a game. That's great. Now you're going to go against Bill Belichick, and this is what you're saying going into that game. And what is proven to be true is that we all knew what was being said in that building.
Yeah, well, what he said was, he goes, that anybody outside of this building has no idea what they're talking about.
Well, yeah. We kind of do. That's the point. You know, we do know what we're talking about, and a lot of fans know what they're talking about. They watch your team more than you watch your team, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, fans watch every aspect of every game.
Yeah.
You know, where the quarterback is not really watching his defense, he may not really understand what's going on. The fan knows what's going on.
And they've also seen years and years and years of Jets football and years and years and years of bad quarterback play, and they can sniff it out.
Right.
They know when another one's coming.
Right, and that's why, like, what he said turned a lot of people off, too.
Yeah.
And then you have the performance after that. So you had bad performances, you had bad press conferences, you had a pre-press conference going into the New England game that exacerbated the issue. It just tells me the kid is a young, immature, you know, player who doesn't see the big picture and he has to learn. And maybe his dad sends him a text and he learns that way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the PR staff over there at the Jets teaches them and makes them learn that way. I'm sure the coach sat him down and said, look, Zach, you're in order to be an NFL quarterback, this is how you got to handle yourself. Well, I don't know if they did that with him when he first got here. I don't know. I mean, but we go back to when they drafted him. I was like, oh, my God, here we go. We got a kid coming in from Utah who's been in this BYU bubble out there playing against nobody. And he's going to come in here and play against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots?
Yeah, but to be fair, when we sat down next to him at training camp, I thought he was great. I thought he was not cocky. I thought he was humble but confident. He said the right things. And every one of his teammates at that point and the coaching staff on and, oh, by the way, off the air were gushing about him.
On the practice field, yes.
And then once he gets into these games, he falls apart.
On the practice field, he's an all-world player, but something happens when he steps off the practice field and onto the actual game field. There's something missing. You know, from a personality standpoint or from a just an understanding of what's going on around you and a nervousness that I think leads him into the yips, throwing the ball into the ground or, you know, dropping his elbow and trying to be Patrick Mahomes and throwing the ball sidearm when he's not there yet.
Yeah.
He needs to be retaught fundamentally again and again and again and again.
That's what Sala said.
And you cannot stop it. You just got to keep driving it in. And I would suggest for Mike LaFleur and Rob Calabrese over there, find out what he does well and go back and look at all of the tape that you have on him over the last 2 years. Find out what he does well. And then it's up to you guys to make sure everybody around him, when he ends up getting back on the field, whether it be this year or next year, all gets a chance to be a part of the team early on in the game. Get the plays that he does well, make sure everybody's touching the ball, everybody's involved, and this way, you know, he can come out of this, and hopefully they can save his career.
And what happens next, I think, is how well does Mike White play or how poorly does Mike White play? You know, if Mike White comes out and the offense looks the same and he's throwing picks and doesn't look the part, then there's a chance we see Zach Wilson in a couple of weeks after this reset if he's doing the things that they expect. If Mike White is winning games and he looks better and his offense is going up and down the field,
they'll keep him out there.
They're going to keep him out there for the rest of the year, and then who knows? I mean, they're winning games and they're going to go to the playoffs.
It will be a situation similar to what's going on in Washington right now.
Yeah, with Taylor Heineke, yes.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it's a little bit different because Carson Wentz is brought in. You know, it's his third team. There's no real tie there. Whereas, you know, Joe Douglas and Rob Sala, I mean, Zach Wilson's success is their success. And the fact that when Joe Douglas made that pick, no matter how many other great picks he's made, and there's been a lot of them, people are going to talk about that one. So it's a little bit different, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, I like Mike White better than you do. I don't know. Maybe it's because we had watched so much bad football for so many years, and then, like, this guy came in just a spark.
Yeah, and out of the blue, yes.
Yeah. So I'll be at the game on Sunday. It's going to be raining, but I'm expecting
I'll tell you
to
what,
play well.
If he ends up turning the ball over, that's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
No, because one thing we have learned is if you don't turn the ball over, this defense is good enough to keep you in every single game.
Absolutely.
And you'll have a chance to win the game at the end of the game like they did last week in New England.
Mm-hmm. And they just never could move the ball. Just couldn't do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.